Okay, this might sound more like a history lesson, but we're trying to make as much as we can to be part of the Sipui Yitzis Mitzrayim. In fact, the mitzvah of Sipui Yitzis Mitzrayim is not to say, you know, Torah and Agoda, which is very nice. Why do we have 4 questions, not 5 questions, and all these type of questions. It's nice and it's Torah, but the mitzvah of Sipur is to actually say the story as it was from the beginning till the end, as the Chazal said. Reb Chaim Brisk says there's 3 chilukim between mitzvah Sipur and mitzvah Zechira, and one of them is that you're going to be maschil begnus. Of course, we're fantastic. We're a great nation with Yam Segula. Hashem chose us, fantastic, but we did have a past which we have to discuss on Saturday night. Why we discuss it, that we, maybe we'll touch on it. If not, it's inside the booklet in the highlight section. But the mitzvah of Sipur is to say the story from A to Z, the whole story until up until this day even. But mainly from the Mitzchila Eid Oyver Seinu. Now, I like to give this 1 year, 1 figure. And from that we can work out, anybody who's got the basic knowledge in Chumash and a bit of Rashi is able to work out our entire history from A to Z. Just only just 1 year and you can work it out very simply, Yitzis Mitzrayim, etc., everything together. The year is 1948. That's the year. 1948 is the year when Moshe Rabbeinu was, when Avraham Avinu was born. Avraham Avinu was born 1948, and from there we can work out just about everything, just knowing basic Chumash and a little bit of Rashi. 1948 he was born, and that means, now another year, just a disclaimer, there's many Midrashim, many Majishachum, many Shrabbah, and Shem Oilam, Dois Oilam. There's many, but we're going to take the basic, which is the most Mukubal, but of course there's other Shittas as well. Avraham Avinu, according to most Shittas, was 70 years old at the time of the Bris Ben Absolim in Parshas Lech Lecha. What was the Bris Ben Absolim? That was the beginning of Shibud Mitzrayim. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Avraham Avinu, listen, I've got good news and not so good news. The not so good news is that your children are going to be enslaved for 400 years. And the good news is, at the end, there'll be a happy ending. Either means chush gadol begashmius, the wealth, business ayom, business mitzrayim, or they're going to go out, they're going to get the Torah, which is the chush gadol. That is how the other mafashim explained, and both are true. That was said when he was 70 years old. If he was born in 1948, then it was in 2018, was when he was told the bris ben absorim. He took the animals and he shechted, he cut them in half, and there was a bris. Hashem made a covenant with him, and that was the deal. Okay, I've chosen you, a fantastic guy. Why did he have to go through? Why was that to be an oynish? What was it? What was the reason? We discussed in the previous years, it's also in the booklet, with 3 main reasons in the Gemara, Masechta Sanhedrin, Lamed Beis, because Avraham had a small chait. On his great level, there was a chait. What was the chait? Either the chait was that he didn't take the five kings, he should have taken the captives and brought them Tachas Kanta Shechina, even though he had a good reason why he didn't want Avos Melechs jump around the whole world saying, listen, I made him great. He didn't take anything. That was his cheshbon. But nevertheless, he should have taken into consideration that all those slaves are going to become Oved Avodah Zorah. If I would take them to my yeshiva, they'd become Ovdei Hashem. They'd be recognizing Hashem. So therefore, the other reason was because he when he went to war, he took the people away from Torah, and Gariya with the Nechomim. And the other reason is what's written in the Apostle, but he asked for a sign, but Mo'eda, and on a person on that great level, shouldn't have asked for a sign. That's how the 3 reasons in the Gemara. But anyway, he was told the bris, the good news and the not so good news. That was in 2018, when he was 70 years old. 30 years later is when he had Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak Avinu was born when he was 2048, exactly 100 years old. And this is very important for Yitzchak Mitzrayim, because the 400 years began when Yitzchak was born. He was born in 2048, and they left Mitzrayim in 2004, exactly 100 years later. And this was the mistake of the Bnei Ephraim. We say on the Haftorah of Shabbos, Chol HaMoed Pesach, or this, I'm not sure I'm going to say it, but there's Haftorah there, which Haftorah discussed, or maybe Shvi'i Shabbos, I'm not sure, the Haftorah of the dried bones. Atzomos HaYevei Shoyis Yichas Kalavi was Machayim Mason dry bones. Who were those bones? Those bones were Shevet Ephraim. Shevet Ephraim left Mitzrayim, or tried the Mitzrayim, 30 years earlier. They made a calculation, which was a miscalculation. They knew that Bris Ben Absorim was in 2018, and Hashem told him 400 years, let's start counting from 2018, 400 years is 2418. So they tried to leave Mitzrayim for 30 years earlier. They didn't count, they didn't work Madaik, the word Zaracho. And that was their mistake, and they left, and they were murdered by the Plishtim, and they were lying there for hundreds of years until Chazkal Avi, many years later, was Mechayim Mesim. That's part of it, it's Mitzrayim for sure. Anyway, Kadosh left Mitzrayim in the year 2448. But let's just do a little bit more calculation, because it's also Negev for us. Once we know that Abraham was born in 1948, and Yitzchak was born in 2048, we can also work when Yaakov was born, because the Pasuk says, Bashas told us, Yaakov was born when Yitzchak was 60 years old. So if we add on to 2048, 60 years old, when he was born in 2108, that's when Yaakov and Esau were born, 2018. Now we can work out when they came to Mitzrayim, because when they came to Mitzrayim, Yaakov is posting the Torah. Paro asked Yaakov, how old are you? And Paro and Yaakov said, Meo Shloshim Shona, I'm 130 years old. So we add on 130 to 2108. So it works out to 2238. That's, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. 2038. That's the year they came to Mitzrayim. And they were Mitzrayim for 200. So there were various calculations. The Biskur Rav al HaTorah in his Sefer explains there were three calculations that actually coincided and finished at the exact same second. Three separate cheshbonos. One cheshbon was the 400. There was 400 years which began from Yitzchak's birth. The second one was that the pasuk says there was 400. They left Mitzrayim 430 years after they were there. That's the pasuk says. The pasuk says they left Mitzrayim 430 years. So there was something to the 30. There was something to the Bris itself. There was another calculation, 430. So it was 400, 430. And then there was the 210 years, which is communion Udu, which is from Yaakov, is actually coming in Mitzrayim. So the three calculations. One was from the actual Bris, 430 years. The second was from Leilas Yitzchak, 400 years. And the third was from Yaakov came to Mitzrayim in the year 2238. And when you count 210 plus 2238, you will have 2448. Yeah. That page only required one. The most? Sorry. Okay, that's my. No. I left it behind. Sorry. Doesn't matter. I should know by heart. If I claim to be a rabbi. Okay. No, it's not that one. That's the one I have. It's another one. That has that one. Oh, also. Yeah, it has, yes, it has, yeah. But that one, a little bit more elaborate. Okay, 2238. That's when Yaakov is in Mitzrayim. And from then, if you add 210, it works out to exactly to 2448. And those are the Biskur Rabbi, and it's a beautiful pshat. And it says all three calculations, even though they seem to be not really connected, but they all actually happened, and they concluded, they came exactly the same. Chishav es ha-keis. Hashem counted the case. But this posture, I think it's worth but having a look inside the posture, where the posture says the 430 also. We all know 400 and we know 210, right? But the 430 is not that well known. It's a posture. The posture says in Parshas Bo, but he, Betzim, was there on this day, middle of the day, they left Mitzrayim 430 years after the Bris Ben Absorim, which was in 2018. Right.
So why did that this conclusion that you start about him?
Well, that's please explanation. There is an explanation. Avraham Avinu, the chait wasn't a normal chait.
Yeah.
I mean, the one why he gave up the captives. That was a good cheshbon, why not? He didn't even take even a chutzach now. So it's a certain chait and a certain But it's all got to do with cheshbonos of the Ribono Shel Olam. They had to go, on Shabbos we mentioned that there's three things, there's Oynish and there's Nisoyin and there's Yisurin. They were going to get it to Yisrael, they were going to get Torah. And the Gemara says in Masechtas, Baruchas Afei, that in order to get Matonis Toivos, you have to have Yisurin. That's what the Gemara says. there was a cheshbon. I mean, they discussed that, but very often you see that children are they have to suffer. Where's this pasuk here? One second. But again, because if a person does his chait, the proper chait, he gets the oinah. True, yeah. But again, this is a kind of a national. Yeah, it was more national. It wasn't a real chait like we understand chait. The point, the Gemara did not loma nanchu loma nanash beyol du bon of a mitzrayim may vesa shonim. Masayim vesa shonim. Oh, here it is. Here it is. It's Kibitel Yud Beis, Posim Mimalev. Vahim Iketz, Shloishim Shono, Va'aba Meyo Shono, after 130 years, which is from the Bispen of Sorin. But it's Mazeh, let me try. Okay, so it's three different calculations. Okay, very good. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu was born, so again, once we know Avraham Avinu was 1948, we add 70 onto that, that's 2018, and from there we count 400 years, that's 2448. Right? So, we had 30 and 2448, that's we can know when Sarah was born, she was born 10 years later, after Avraham Avinu, we can know when Sarah was Nifta, and when Yitzchak was, everything, we can work everything out, it's not really our topic at the moment. But when did the actual Shibud begin? They went to Mitzrayim, as we said, in 2238, the Yaakov came to Mitzrayim. There was exactly 210 years before they left. However, there was no Shibud yet. There was no hard work yet. Why? Because Chazal tell us, as long as one of the Shvatim was alive, then there was no Shibud left. No Shibud. Yosef, the Pasuk says, Yosef was born 7 years after Yaakov married. Now we can look at Yaakov married. Yaakov was born when Yitzchak was 60 years old. So, and then he went 14 years and he was 7 years. So that's 21. So it was Yitzchak was born in 2048 plus, so he was 60. So he was born in 2108. That's when Yaakov was born. Right? And we add on Yaakov. We add on to Yaakov. He was born in 2018. 63, he got the brochos. 14 years he was in Shem Ve'eva, and 7 years he worked for Leah, and he got Rochel the next week. So 60, 14 is 21, and 63 is 4 is 84. So 218, 84 is 84. Sorry, I left my paper home. I had it all worked out. 84 is 12, 1, 9. 2192. That's when Yosef was born. Sorry, that's when he got married. Yosef was born 7 years later. So he was born in 2199. Yosef was born in 2199. What's important to us is that, and he was lifted 110 years later. So that means he was lifted 2309. That's when he was lifted 2309. It says here 2309. Right. Now, what's important for us is Levi. Levi was the one who lived the longest, and Chazal said, as long as one of the Shvatim was alive, there was no Shibud Mitzrayim. When was Levi born? So the Pasuk says, Yaakov told Reuven, Reishis Oini. You, Reuven, you're Reishis Oini, which means the same night. The first relation he had with Leah, he had the Reuven was conceived. And next year was Shimon. And next year was Levi. So Levi was 2 years after Yaakov Avinu married Leah and Rochel. So, if he married them when he was 14, 2192, that means he was born in 2194, and he lived, for a lady, he lived till 2332. He died the last of all things from 2332. So the Shibud didn't begin before 2332, and they left 2448. Which is about 110 years approximately.
There was no Shibud for Shibud
Levi
anyway.
Right, but as long as he was alive, there was no Shibud for anyone. That's the point we're making. So the whole Shibud, even though we're there 210 years, the whole Shibud didn't begin before when Levi was alive, and Levi died 2332, which was approximately 116 years before they left. doesn't say it started the day afterwards, but Miriam, who was 6 years older than Moshe Rabbeinu, she was called Miriam because of from the word mar, because it was bitter. So she was 86 at Yetzias Mitzrayim, because Moshe was 80, 81 or 80, we'll talk about them in a second. So 86 years before. So somewhere in between 116 years before the Yetzias Mitzrayim and 86, in those 30 years, somewhere in the middle there, that's when the shibud started. Right? Got that? Now, this is quite interesting, exactly. How old was Moshe Rabbeinu? There's a bit of this, because I'm sorry to ask this question, and it's many Mephoshim tackle this question. The question is as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu is all psukim in the Torah, right? 120 years old. He was a full 120 years old when he was Nifta, right? That was after being 40 years in the Midbar. And how old was he when he left Mitzrayim? In left Mitzrayim, he was 80 years old. That's what it seems. So 80 plus 40, very good, he was 80 when he left Mitzrayim, 40 years, he died, 120. That's how it would seem when you read the Chumash in grade 6 or grade 7 level. The problem is that we learn Rashi, and we say that the Makos lasted a year, 1 year. And at the beginning of the Makos, he came to Paroi, and the Pasuk says, how old was he? He was 80, and his brother Aaron was 83. He was 80 when he went to the Makos. That means that the Yetzias Mitzrayim, he was 81. He was 81, 81 plus 40 is 121, so something doesn't work out here. Sorry? 12 months. 10 months, 12 months. Rashi says, again, many Midrashim, we're going with the Posh of Shad, Rashi says it was a year. Each Makkah was a month, it was extra. Each Makkah was a, they warmed the Paro for 3 weeks, and the fourth week was the Makkah. 1 week, right? So this is the question with Chamsoi for us, and you can stump your attendees, your guests at your thing, that this is a very basic question. If Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 at the beginning of the year, when the Makkahs began, that means it seems like he was 81. If it was 81, it was 40, right? Chamsoi for says it must be pshat, that if it says 80 means he wasn't 80, he was in his 80th year. He was 79 years old. He was in his 80th year, and the 80th year concluded when we left Mitzrayim. That's about, it says Shmoinim Shono, it says come out the same Loshon. Yeah, V'moishe ben Shmoinim Shono, and it says ben Me'asim Shono. It's the same Loshon. But that's what he said. Have to, otherwise, there's something which doesn't fit so well. Okay, so that's Moshe Rabbeinu. So let's go. He was stuck at 80.
So Esem HaKot is 10 months.
Right, yeah, that's a, well, even it's 10 months. That's not it. Yeah, well, let's say that till he got to Paro, it took him a month, he got up, but it was spread over a year. Okay. So, in the year 2448, on Tezvob Nissan, they left Mitzrayim day. That's when they said, not by night, by day. They took Korban Pesach, and then by day, they weren't allowed to leave their homes. They were in their homes, even though there was a lot of excitement outside, and they were dying to go outside. Nevertheless, they stayed at home, and they left Mitzrayim. Now, there is a discussion among the Rishonim exactly. The Pasuk says, a very famous Pasuk in Pasha's Boy, and they baked the bayovi as a boss, and they baked their dough, ugois matzois, ki loy chometz. Now, what does ki loy chometz mean? Because it didn't become chometz? Well, if you look at the Agoda, and the most important part of the Agoda is Rabbi Shimon Yolo Hayoime. And we mentioned on Shabbos, to make sure that certain parts are a must for everyone, young and old, male and female, and any child who's above a chinuch, right? And you have to say that. And why do we eat matzah? Matzah shumor. The Baal HaGoda explains why Shemor, Al Shum, Shlahisbik Betzekom, because it wasn't enough time for the dough to rise. That's a story we give out to our kids, which is correct, according to some Rishonim. And therefore, they rush and we eat the matzah as a Zeicha. Now, there are certain questions on that. Number one, the mitzvah of matzah was given before that, even before they left. Okay, Hashem also was given because it was going to happen later on. Okay, we can understand that. But the issue is as well, there's a machlokes in the Gemara. Our Pesach is 7 days, right? Our Pesach is 7 days, right? Now, what was the first, our Pesach is mentioned in Parshas Bo. What was that year of its time? How long was Pesach then? How many days did they have to eat matzah in that year Pesach? Well, it's a machlokes in the Gemara. Some say one, some say seven. If it's one, then the pasuk, we can read the pasuk as we just said. They wanted to bake chometz. even though minkud l'chayra, why? If you read the pasuk as it reads in, like we said before, they baked the dough. Matzois, why? Ki loy chometz, it didn't become chometz. Why? Because they were going to them and they were pushed to the Russian Mitzrayim. Now, if it's Pesach and you're not allowed to eat chometz, they baked the matzah. If it's Pesach, you have to eat matzah. What do you mean they were Russian Mitzrayim? So, if you learn that that it was only one day, we can get around it. We can say they were baking for the way. They were baking for the next couple of days. And okay, one day they still had something, but for the first day, but they were baking. And nevertheless, they wanted to bake chometz for the next day, right? It's only a couple of hours till nightfall. They were leaving in the morning, and so they baked matzah. They wanted to bake chometz, and they baked matzah. That's what the pasuk says. But if you learn Pesach Mitzrayim was 7 days in the year 2448, if it was 7 days, so then they had to bake matzah anyway, because they have to have 7 days of food, have to eat matzah. So then how come the pasuk says, and they baked it matzah, because they were in a rush, but they were pushed out of Mitzrayim. Doesn't fit in so well. So the Rishonim have to explain the pasuk a little bit different. Ki loy chometz is two pshotim. Now again, this is not the way the Balagod explains it. The Balagod just says the poshim shot, like the kids are taught in school. What? And they taught from the Agoda. They were baked it, we eat matzah because they were in a rush and they were rushed at the Mitzrayim. It wasn't enough time to become chometz. Okay, fair enough. But that doesn't fit in with the pshat, with the opinion in the Gemara, which was 7 days. So then you have to touch the pasuk different. And they baked it matzah because there was a mitzvah of matzah, not because they were Russian in Mitzrayim, but there was a mitzvah of matzah. Ki loy chometz means because you weren't allowed to eat chometz. So we have two ways to touch the three words important.
Ki can be said that, isn't it?
Sorry?
Like, ki can be read as that, not only.
Correct, exactly. That's the two ways to read the pasuk. Because they weren't allowed to eat chometz, right? Ki loy chometz, they weren't allowed to eat chometz. So either it didn't become chometz, that's the other pshat, but then we have to fix up the end of the pasuk as well, because the pasuk ki goshen Mitzrayim. So what were they washed out? So we have to stop the pasuk there, because there was iso chometz full stop, and now they rushed out of Mitzrayim, and therefore they didn't prepare any provisions. But if you learn ki loy chometz didn't become chometz, it reads together very well. Didn't become chometz. Why? Because they're kigoshu, they're rush out of Mitzrayim. But if you learn like that, if it was Pesach, it was 7 days, and therefore that they baked matzah, because they had to bake matzah anyway, because they couldn't eat any chometz anyway, so then we have to touch the pasuk ki loy chometz, that was iso chometz, full stop. The rushing out of Mitzrayim wasn't a reason why that they were had chometz. So therefore, kigoshu, therefore that means ki loy chometz, full stop. And then the pasuk says they rushed out of Mitzrayim and they didn't make any provisions, which is a big zchus kalish order. They trusted Hashem and they didn't take with provisions for the long trip into the Midbar. So that is the two ways that it was, which is quite interesting, and it's really basic, because if Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says that you have to understand the reason for matzah, then the Baal HaGadol only brings down only one mahalach. There's another two. I just said another mahalach, there's more mahalach, but that's the basic how you teach ki loy chometz. Why did they eat matzah? Did they eat because they were rushed out, or they ate because there was the issur to eat chometz? And sure. Okay, very good. So let's go back to Moshe Rabbeinu and everything else. Now there's something very interesting which happened when going back a couple of years. We said that the actual Shibut only began somewhere between 116 years before they left, or 86 years. It lasted all the way through, either 116 or 86, somewhere between it began. And there was a lot of trouble there. We mentioned many earlier years that L'chayra, the question is asked, why did the Mitzrayim get punished? What did they do wrong? Hashem said there should be Mitzrayim in another land. So Rambam says, he didn't say which land. And they put up their hand. Rambam says, I don't like that, because if a king says, this person deserves the punishment, so everyone's just running, the first guy who picks up his hand and does it should get a prize. So Rambam says, because they went overboard. The Bris said, va'avodum v'ino oisom, you should enslave them and you should pain them. It doesn't say you should kill them, doesn't say you should murder them, you should drown, it doesn't say anything about that. So they went over, they started killing, murdering. Where's that written in the Bris Be'Absorim? And that's why they were punished. That's what the Rabban says. So one of the ways they punished Eden was it was also a mental torture as well. They took the little kids from mother's arms, they dragged the kid out, and they used to, if you didn't if we didn't manage to gather enough straw to make bricks, they took the children and they put the children inside the wall in place of the brick that you should have gathered had you worked hard enough. That was the idea. And there was a little baby inside the wall, and Moshe Rabbeinu walked over to the wall and saw his kid, and his heart was heartbroken. He was heartbroken. And there was this interesting dialogue between him and Hashem. Very interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu says, please, Hashem, save the baby. And Hashem says, I think we should leave the baby there. So he says, please, please, I can't bear seeing this child. I can't bear it. Right? Hashem says, I'm telling you, I can't bear it. Say, okay. So Hashem said, you drag him out. And this baby's name was Micho. This Micho was a very interesting chap, but he caused us a lot of trouble in the coming years. So this, Hashem actually told Moshe Rabbeinu. And he actually told him that, so this is the Gemara in two places in Sanhedrin, where we have this chap Micho mentioned. The word Micho is from the word Mismayach. Mismayach means to crush. He was crushed in the wall. That's where his name comes from. And Rashi Avi Mesechta Sanhedrin says that Micho was... So the Gemara says Mismayach. Yes, Rashi brings his Medrash Tanchuma. As we just mentioned, that this interesting dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Kodesh Baruch Hu about saving this child. And Hashem told him that leave him there because koitzim mechalim el akerem, which is something very, very interesting. Hashem says, I have my plan. I have my plan, and there's reasons for everything. And this baby needs to die. This baby needs to die. We're getting rid of the psoilus, what you want to call it, koitzim, we call it thorns. And if they're going to remain alive, I'm telling you, Moshe Rabbeinu, there's not going to be a good outcome. These guys are going to cause you trouble. It's a headache for you. Leave it. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, I just can't bear it. He was such a good heart. He was such a caring, loving leader. And so he said, okay, take one out. He took him out, and this is Micho. This was the, this is Micho came from. And this Micho, later on, when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to leave Mitzrayim, they had to leave. There was a condition to leave was to take Yosef with them, right? We said Yosef died many years earlier. Yosef was 110 years old, again, also before Shaposik in the Torah. So Yosef was born 7 years after. Rachel was barren for 7 years. So 7 years after, that's when Yosef was born. And he was 17, went to Mitzrayim, and then he was locked up for 11 years in the Senate. Then he came out. And it was 2 years later, after he was placed in the Cholom, he came out, and it was 7 years of Sova and 2 years of hunger, and then Yaakov came to Mitzrayim. Yaakov was 130 years old, as we mentioned before. Now, when Yosef left, and when Yosef said, you have to take out from Mitzrayim, so Moshe Rabbeinu went looking for his coffin, and the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians knew that the coffin will be, they can't leave without the coffin, so therefore they sunk it into the Nile. And he had his special tass. It was a tash of zov. There was like a plate made of gold. It had a shame written on Alei Shor. And Moshe Rabbeinu threw it into the water, and the coffin arose, and they took it with it. While they were busy taking the coffin, this little Micha chap, this little kid, he grabbed that tass and he put it in his pocket. He put it in his pocket, and this is called, again, there's something called Pesam. When they went through the Yam Suf, and Micha went through, and he had Pesel Micha. Pesel means an Avedizor, right? Psal Lecho. Now, some say it was this Tass. Even at that point, it wasn't yet a Pesel, but he made it into a Pesel. He took it with him, and there is a very interesting going on the famous question in Parshas B'Shalach. It says there, Choyma, that after the walls, when they went to Mitzrayim, the walls, the water stood up, was Choyma, and it says Chayma, spoke that above. It's pronounced Choyma, it says Chayma. So the Bel Feit Akasha, why is Choyma, Chayma, what's it? So the Goyim says a beautiful pshat. Micho was part of Shevet Don. Don was always the last one going through. Don was Ma'aseh V'chol HaMachnas. So as they went through into the Yam, so first one going in was Yehuda, and they went in order of the Shvatim. Even they went, but they copied or they knew the order, and they went through. Pesel Micho, who was in Shevet Don, and Pesel was still out. He was still waiting on the bank of the river. So when they were in the water, there was no pestle yet. Chayma. There was no anger. It was chayma. The water was a chayma. It was like a wall, a towering wall. There was no chayma. But then, when Biyabosh, why Biyabosh Psechayom? That's also the other kasha, right? There's two questions. Why is it changed from spending chayma to chayma? And why Biyabosh Psechayom? So he explains that when, the beginning, when they were in, that would be Seichayom, means that we're half in the water and that half would still be Abosho. That means Dom and Micha and the pestle out of the yam, it was Choyma. But when it was Biabosho b'seichayom, that means Yehuda and the first were already out on Yabosho and they were still in Yam, then it's Chayma. Because Pesel Micha was in the Yam, I'm holding up the waters for this Micha, it was a Chayma, it was an anger that Hashem had to hold up the water for this Micha to go through. Anyway, this Pesel that he had, this is how they made the Egel. Rashi in Parshas Kisiso, which you just read a few weeks ago, Rashi there says that Yosem Becheret. So Rashi says that this Micha chapter, he threw in this tas shazor what he had, and this made the eagle. Rashi is in Lamed Beis Dalad. Ve'yeshayim Micha hayosham shatz b'lechad Musa binyan. He came out of the Bishas back Mitzrayim. V'hoy b'yodoshem v'tas, which says, what did the Tas say? Alei Shoyr. Why did it say Shoyr? Because Yosef is called Shoyr. Choy Shoyr, I hold aloy. He was called Shoyr. So he took the Alei Shoyr and he threw it into the Cheret. He threw it into the winning where they were made. And the Ego is also Shoyr. Alei Shoyr. So he used the Koichas HaKadusha, which was in the Tas. He made him Tavei Dezora, and that was able to give the Ego Lazov this supernatural Koyach to come out. And so he actually made the Ego. That is why that's. And this is the Micha that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, this guy is going to be trouble for you, so I don't know why you're getting involved with him. Right. And this Micha actually causes trouble many years later as well. In Shoftim, the Pasha there, Micha Yahu, somebody, also the same thing, that's the money and they made a, I do have it, sorry, I do have it. So, okay, yeah. So someone in Shoftim, Micha Yahu is called. There was a story there. He came with the silver coins, and his mother took it. But they also with the Zora. So it's the same thing that this Micha chapter. Anyway, this Micha originated from the wall, and this dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and Kodesh Baruch Hu. We asked once by one drushes. They asked us, Moshe Rabbeinu, well, Chayru was right. It's Pekuach Nefesh. So that was the discussion we had. But anyway, Hashem himself told him to leave go. So Hashem told him, you'll see one day you're going to regret it. And he actually did regret it when they had when he was born. Okay. So let's continue. And Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 or 81, as we discussed before. When he left Mitzrayim, he was 80 when he left Mitzrayim. He was 79 when he came to Paro. He was in his 80th year. That's so he explains the contradiction. And Moshe Rabbeinu, I was a young boy, and he had to run away because he had to kill the Mitzri. And he ran down to this place, he had to run away, and he ran to Cush. And we know the story that he was there for 40 years, because they Bilam tried to take over Cush. And Moshe Rabbeinu was there, and after 40 years, he came back to Mitzrayim to help them. He went to the snare, but the main point is that he was there for a long time. He was first in Beis Yisroel, then he was there, and he came back many, many, many years later to save Klal Yisroel from Mitzrayim. This destroyed the snare was on Tes Sivan, on Tes Nisan, exactly 1 year before he came, 2447, on Tes Nisan, exactly a year, nearly a year beforehand. Tes Nisan was just a few days ago, and that's when he was told, Hashem told him, I'm giving you this job, and of course he declined because he was a very humble man. And then, It's a medrash. It was Tes Nisan, yeah. There's all these dates are all medrashim, but there is a big machloikus. It's quite a complicated issue, but we just touch on it very, very briefly. How we count the years of Shnois Olam was creation, which was on Chof Hein El, was that year one or year Ephes? And it works out because the left Mitzrayim was a Thursday, right? And Kabbalah Satoira was on a Shabbos, so it doesn't always stem the two things. So they're trying to work it out the years, but it got to do with the cheshbon from when it's got to do with also with Shnas Hashmita. It's a very complicated sugya. But back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now
the snare, right.
So he came to the snare, and it was by the snare, it was in the year 2447, and Moshe Rabbeinu was told to Hashem, you've got to go back and get my children out, and Moshe Rabbeinu declined, but nevertheless Hashem won, like always. Hashem said, you've got to take him out, and they took him out, and Moshe Rabbeinu took him out of Mitzrayim. It's interesting that the Klal Yisrael which left Mitzrayim, the entire Klal Yisrael of Mitzrayim, they had two types of business. They had two types of wealth they gathered. They gathered the Bizas Hayom and they gathered the Bizas Mitzrayim. Bizas Mitzrayim was before they left. They went and they knocked the door and they said, please can I borrow from you something nice, clothing, smolos or gold or silver, whatever it was. And they borrowed it and they showed him Master Kasha, how could they borrow? They weren't borrowing, they were taking it for good. There's many, many terutzim in Rishonim, which we discussed earlier, so not tonight's shiur. And Moshe Rabbeinu, and they left Mitzrayim with the Bizas Mitzrayim. Then when they came to the Yom, then they got Bizas Hayom that they used to put on the chariots, they used to decorate the chariots with gold and silver, they took with all their wealth with them. I think it was to boost their confidence that they're going to win. Otherwise you don't go to war with all your wealth. So Moshe, when they said, now it's interesting that the Bizas Mitzrayim that they took, where did that end up? That ended up in the Mishkan, and the Bizas Hayom ended up in the Egel. That's what some Sefer says, Al-Fashim also. The Bizas Hayom ended up in the Egel, that's when they made the Egel from, that was the gold and silver, the gold they gave for the Egel, and the Bizas Mitzrayim was what they ended up in, what they built the Mishkan from.
if we borrowed these things from Egypt, we have a chiyuv for
them. Yeah, that's the Kasha. Well, there's many answers on the Kasha. One answer, the Rishonim asked a question. One answer is that we do find the word v'sha'alo meaning is a gift as well. V'sha'alo, we find in Shoiftim in a few times in the Tanakh, the word sha'alo can mean a gift. Asking for a gift doesn't mean to borrow. It means asking for, it can mean a gift as well. That's I think the, one of the Rishonim say that, not the Haredim, will come to me later. One of the Rishonim said, another pshat is that they actually told, they knocked on the door and said, listen, sorry?
The payment for our work.
Payment for our work, yeah. That's one of the portion, but the other Rishonim say that they knocked on the door and they said, listen, there seems to be some, you know, the our leader and your leader having this discussion, and we're going, not going, what's going on, blah, blah. We don't know what's going on. All we know is that we want to borrow, and if we come back, we'll give it back to you. If we're not coming back, like Moshe Rabbeinu, then you can take our fields, you can take our whatever we have, whatever we left behind, you can take it, it's all yours. So they actually did borrow, but the borrowing was that we're going to give it back to you when we come back. If we don't come back, then we can't give it back to you, can we? So therefore, that's another malach on the shrein. The other malach is that it was taken as payment, but doesn't fit with the question is the word borrowing, it was when borrowed. They didn't ask him for payment. But that's the answer. The payment is the answer to the business Hayom, business Mitzrayim. The business Hayom they actually worked for. It was hard-earned money. It was belonged to them. But business Mitzrayim, sorry. Business Hayom was something just, it was an extra bonus. It was no work, there was no toil. If there's no toil, then that money, which you know, toil for me, just someone, you know, like someone just, he's a yuppie and he's good for nothing, he's a spoilt, and just got a big inheritance from his father, you just wash it away. But that's what they did with the eagle. But the business Mitzrayim, that they felt actually, whether they borrowed or how they asked or what they told him, the point is that they felt it was, like you said, it was payment for the work. If it's there, if they had the money, that they wouldn't waste on something which is just worthless, like the eagle, and therefore they used it for the Mishkan, which was the kapara for the eagle. Okay, any questions up on this point? Anyone want to discuss anything?
I have a question.
Yes.
Okay. So far, the Jews left Mitzrayim. They didn't leave under the cover of darkness and sneak
right.
out.
Right.
So why did the dogs have to be rewarded for not barking? They could have made any noise they liked.
Because they would scare them.
Scare them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Scare them with a barking dog. The Gemara says, Masechtas Brachot, that dog, you can't have a kelev lav. You know, shouldn't have a dog. Shouldn't have a dog. Kelev lav or kelev shoyin, that's a different discussion. And the Gemara says, why? Because a pregnant woman might walk past, and the dog will bark and give her a scare, and she can miscarry. That's the Gemara says. So a barking dog. I'm not talking about a little puppy. You know, a dog's a dog. A barking dog, he gives you a scare. And that's I think what it was, yeah.
Leading on from that, you mentioned about a frame that saved the family 30 years earlier.
Right.
How did they get out?
That's a good question. The frame was locked up. That's a good question. Somebody asked it once again, she went a while ago. Someone asked the same question. How did they get out? It could be that not getting out was that there was a part where the wall was missing when it was open, because you, like by Kush, when Moshe came to Kush, it was surrounded on three sides. On one side, it was surrounded, there was snakes and alligators, whatever it was, in the water, right? It was open. What happened by Kush? When Moshe came to Kush, he wanted to get into Kush. They threw out the kids. Bilam came then, he threw out the kids, and they were out. They couldn't get back in. So, and it was three sides. There was a choyma, there was a big wall. On one side, there was a moat full of snakes, and fields and forests full of thousands and thousands of snakes. Moshe Rabbeinu told them to take stalks and hunger the stalks, and send the stalks in, the stalks flew in, and each stalk grabbed a whole bunch of snakes, and that's how they were able to come in. So that side was open. It was open. So it's possible that this side was open, and the Mitzvah knew, you go out there, you're going to get killed by the Plishtim. It's like walking into electric fence. That's why it wasn't, it was open. Could be. And therefore they went, and they were going to figure it's time to go. Time to go. That was their judgment. Yeah. Sorry, what did you?
I don't know, just that Moshe said before about after 100 years,
it's amazing. Sorry?
I'm not just wondering what that story is.
We're in the, by Chaskel, yeah, there was Chris Mason, Thomas Yevashis. That's the famous, those people were Mechaim Mason, he was Mechaim Mason.
That was over to go to Yetzirah?
Yeah, looks like it, yeah. Chayra went to Yetzirah.
They did it with Nevada, they just happened to get killed.
They did in Aveira because they weren't listening to Moshe Rabbeinu. Obviously, he wasn't going. I mean, it's like Moshe Rabbeinu and all these famous time, and they waved them goodbye and said, don't go. And they went on their own accord. They went without the good idea, sir. Big Aveira.
Was Moshe Rabbeinu there at the time?
Sorry?
Yeah,
he was.
Was
he? No,
wasn't he Midian? He wasn't Midian, yeah. Whatever, but
Aaron.
No, they were obviously waiting to leave. There wasn't no time to leave. They knew when they were going to leave. That signs, but it's going to be missing before. Whatever.
The bones weren't in there.
No, it was Plishtim. Yeah. The Plishtim. I don't know how far they got, but they don't know how far they got. Maybe they got pretty close. I don't know, but they were killed by the Plishtim. But that's a good question. How did they leave? How did they leave Mitzrayim? Yeah. Okay. So where are we up to? Yeah. So they went. So we discussed the 40s in the Midbar. And it's interesting that Dor Mitzrayim, the ones that witnessed all the Nisim v'Niflois of the Makkos and the Kriyas Yamsuf, they're the ones that made the Egel. So the Egel was made exactly one year, straight away after 2458, they left Mitzrayim, that was on the Tesla of Nisim. And 7 weeks later, they got the Torah, and just after that, 40 days later, in Yudzayin Tammuz, they made the Egel, and they only got a Kapora, Yom Kippur, which was a few months later. So it's interesting that they were in Mitzrayim, and they saw the Nisim v'Niflois, they saw the Makkos, all the Makkos, and each Makkos had so many other Makkos built into the Makkos, as we say in the Agoda, and they're the ones that fell down, and they made the Egel just a couldn't wait a few more hours. Okay, the Sultan made a mirage, and they saw Moshe Rabbeinu flying in the sky, but the Master. So there's a very important lesson over here, which is called easy come, easy go. Now, if someone's a Bala Muna, if he works as a Muna, and he lives a Muna, you know, let's say he's in the workforce and he sees every day, he daments to Hashem and he hopes Hashem will send him a thing and he waits and he knows quite well it's not my work, it's Hashem doing it. No, I do this. It's a gzeira in Shemayim. It's a gzeira. You have to work. you have to work to do something. But not that it's koichivaytzim yodi. If he knows that and that's how he lives, that person's going to be strong. But someone who's just it's shoved down his throat and it's just doused on it, like they were Mitzrayim, they were very, very low madrega, they were mamash on the 49th level, and they saw all those nisim, they saw everything, and it's somehow, even though they witnessed it, and even though it says even a shivcha layom saw what Cheskem didn't see, but nevertheless, just a few weeks later, a few months later, they fell down into the chayt of eagle. So, Shari, this is the important lesson that easy come, if it comes very easy, it's going to go very easy, and that's why they punked this door of Mitzrayim. They don't want it. Now, even though the pasuk says that the door of Mitzrayim, none of them entered Israel, it's not so posh, not so clear that everyone didn't enter. There were those that did enter, the last 15,000, some say ended, and etc. And there's also a lot of discussion about the women. Pasuk, the women, they also did enter that Israel. It's only the men didn't enter Israel. So there were people that did enter Israel. And as we said before, there were Yechidim. And the question is, how did Micha get into Israel? How did Micha get there? If Micha, I mean, obviously he wasn't a good guy. And we said in Pasha Shoyin, Sefer Shoiftim, there's a story about this lady who gave him the gold coins, the silver coins. So it's interesting how this Micha chap made it all the way to Israel and made it in there. The Chayyim, I would have assumed he actually gave the tas, he gave the piece of gold to make the eagle. He was the whole chap in the first place. So how did he make it in the Israel? I'm not sure. Maybe Rabbi Holtz will give us an answer.
Was he under 20?
Maybe. Was in the tribe. No, okay, yeah. Could be.
Under 20 to 60, like in the middle.
He's
a teenager.
Yeah, could be.
Slipped through.
Could be. Yeah, it's a good time.
Did Shevet Levi go across?
Of course. Well, across where?
To Erz Kamara?
Of course. Shevet Levi.
Now all the...
The
ones between 20 and 60.
Ah. Lechori, yes. Yes. Okay, they didn't say the eagle. Right. Sorry, why?
When she was a baby, she was saying.
Oh, pull them out, right. He must have been. Well, she was in the trumpet, was 80 years old, correct. He must have been.
Was she under the last year?
Right, correct. We asked a question for him, Lechori, how was he 80 years old? 120 years old when he died. What is in the midbar, so how's he 80 years old? How is he 80?
With 1 year.
Yeah, 1 year's missing, yeah. Some safe discussion.
The Makkah's only 6 months?
Yeah, but the Pashas were 12 months. 12 months, Pashas. So how do they... Some safe says, Shmoinim, it doesn't mean that he was in his 80th year. It means it was in his 80th year. That's how he... That's not such so poshut. Yeah. Okay, that what we said before about the Chaim and the Chaimah, I'm not sure I said that's the word from the Vilna Gaon, says that word. Chaim and Chaimah, how he explains the Pesel Micha going through the Yam Suf. And the Meshech Chacham works a lot with it as well. Masav Chol HaMachmas, we shave it on as well. Okay, we'll stop over here. Let's get any other questions. Thank you for coming, thank you for listening. I hope it was interesting.